by a heartless enemy. Keep your faith anchored in His never changing word. Then, child of God, cry out, lift your voice and be heard. We will go on. By the grace of God, we will go on. Think of all He's done. Don't stand here at the water's edge. Have faith and be strong.
Be strong in the name of the Lord. We will go on. Jesus hasn't let you down from the moment you first met. He's brought you safe this far, and He's not finished.
It's all right.
We'll get started. All right. Yeah, I'm going to say stand up in a minute. But give you a second to relax. Yeah, no problem. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Dear precious God and Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you for how you're working in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be here today, to worship you openly. Lord, all around our country, there is things going on, freedoms that are being taken. But Lord, we're so grateful that, Lord, you're the God that sways king's hearts like a river. Lord, we ask and pray for our authorities that they will come to know you and they will start believing that you are the one that they need to serve and not the dollar, not anything else. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. We love you and bless this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and turn to 160. 167. I might have to do this acapulco. Acapella. I'm a little nervous about doing it acapella. But, all right. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Ready? Oh, 167? Singing, and you may be seated. Turn over to 160. Crown him with many crowns. Thank you so much for your singing. Thank you, Miss Sarah. All right. Excuse me. Tuesday, July 9th, baptismal service. Yeah, that's what it says. Baptismal service and the junior campers DVD and the VBS meeting. There's a lot going on that night, so just be prepared. Today, that is today, by the way, the 9th. Oh, that's already fun. All right, Wednesday, July 12th, that's Wednesday, Bible preaching and prayer at 7. Thursday, the 13th, all-out blitz flyer distribution and for VBS, that'll be at 6, and then Thursday. Yeah, at 6 p.m. And then Saturday, the 15th, another blitz for distributing flyers for VBS will be at 10. And then Monday through Wednesday, 17th through the 19th, our annual vacation Bible school will be at 6:30 with Josh Wells. Sunday, the 23rd, our missionaries task for the task will be with us, Trasks for the tasks will be with us for the evening service. August 1st through the 3rd, Youth Con at Heartland Baptist Bible College. Sunday, August 13th, back to school on Promotion Sunday with Snow Cones for All. So there's a lot coming up, so please keep aware of that. Put that on your calendar, and remember to get the bulletin. And please remember the prayer requests on the back. Anyway, thank you very much. Brother, it's all yours.
Okay. Well, good morning. Good to have you with us in our Sunday school, our adult Sunday school class. I just have to make an announcement to my wife. She's watching online. Don't call me. I forgot my phone. It's laying on the table. So, but anyway, in case she needs me, I forgot my phone. But anyway, she's doing much better this week. She had a much better week. God is good. She's been having a problem reading her Bible. Her eyes have been blurry and everything. And I think she's been praying about it. I've been praying about it. And I told her I'd read to her, but she says when she hears me read, she falls asleep. So I don't know why, she's been praying about it and everything, and the Lord blessed her this week. She found out if she gets up, I get up pretty early myself, but she gets up about 6 o'clock or so, her eyes are clear. She can read her Bible. Today she did 10 chapters. She was praising the Lord, and I just want to praise the Lord with her. Sometimes we just take it for granted, reading our Bibles. And we should never take God's word for granted at any reason. So I wanted to praise the Lord this morning for that. I know she wanted me to share that with you. And she's had a better week this week than she had last. So it's been good. So this morning we are in Acts chapter 13. I got to remember the thing she told me: loosen my collar and unbutton it, because last few weeks I've been losing my airway here, so hopefully that's a little better now. It is. Actually, I can breathe now again. Okay, so today we're looking in the book of Acts chapter 20. Now, in the book of Acts, we see here it starts in verse 1. I'm not going to go through all of this, but Paul had just left the riot that was going on there in Ephesus, and the uproar and everything that happened, and that's all read there in verse 1, and he's on a journey here. He's heading toward Jerusalem, but here in chapter 20, we're going to start reading this morning in verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. Now, he had been traveling. We talked about that last week. He was moving through some cities here in verses 13 through 16 here pretty quick. He's sailing along here. Like he said, he had a desire in verse 16. The last part of that says to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So he's got a goal in mind. That's important. Sometimes we need to have goals in mind. But here he comes to Miletus, and he stops there in Miletus, and he calls for the elders of Ephesus to come to him. Ephesus is only 30 miles away. He could have went to them, but the reason I believe, after studying this out a little bit, the reason why he didn't is because it took him 5 days to get across the Appian Sea there, That's not normal. Normally, he can do it in 2 days. What was happening, there were storms and things going on during these times, so he decided to stay where he was at and have them come to him, just in case, the ship had to leave early to get around the storms and those things like that. But anyway, so he calls them to him, and verse 18 says, "And when they had come to him, he said unto them, you know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, He's been with them for quite a while, several years here actually in this area, and this actually is his second missionary journey. And actually started his third missionary journey, went from second to third pretty quick there. But he says in verse 18, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. We talked a little bit about that last week. He shows here his humility. He told them that he was talking to these elders now here from Ephesus, and he's trying to emphasize to them that he had compassion for them, and he was showing his humility of mind, and he said and talked about that, and with many tears. I believe if we compare him, I believe it's a lot. He compared a lot to Jeremiah of the Old Testament, the weeping prophet. He had something to tell him, and he especially remember that that Paul, being a Jew, had a real soft heart for the Jews. And we're going to see this, I think, as we look into chapter 21, when he's warned not to go to Jerusalem. But he still has that soft heart for the Jews, and he wants to proclaim the gospel to his people. And so with tears, and he says, and many temptations, he said, which befell him by the lying and the weight of the Jews. They always seemed to be everywhere he went. They would come and they would attack him and the things that he was saying, because I believe that because that when he preached to them, showing them the same things in the Old Testament which God had showed them, and things that they knew, and now showing them that through the Lord Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all these things. So therefore, they were upset. They didn't want to hear that they had crucified the Messiah. And then in verse 20 says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. We talked about that a little bit last week. You see here that he did it publicly. He was out on the street corners and in the temple, or in the synagogues at this time, and he was telling them as a group, and he would preach to them the gospel. And the same thing, he would turn around and then daily, and I believe just like it says in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts here, that daily they were in the house teaching and preaching Jesus. And so he was, what he was telling them and preaching them, he also went to them privately and taught them those things. Laid the things out so that they could understand why they were supposed to be living the Christian life, why it was important to accept Christ as their personal Savior. And we're going to be looking a little bit of that in the lesson here today also. In verse 20, it says, and he said, I think I just read that, but he kept back nothing from them, which was profitable unto them, but he shewed them and taught them publicly and in house. He held back nothing. He tried to open up to them the whole counsel of God and tried to show them. I believe if you look in the book of Hebrews and you read through the book of Hebrews and you find out, this week I just was reading through my Bible as in the New Testament this week and read through the book of Hebrews, and there's just so many things there that we see. As it says, it's to the Hebrews, to the Jews, and he just points out so many things here that he's saying that the Messiah, the Lord, he's greater than the angels. He's greater than he was a representative of Melchizedek. He was better than Abraham, and all these things throughout the book of Hebrews. As you read through that, you can see all those things. And I believe the book of Hebrews is exactly what he was preaching to the Jews when he went into the synagogue. He told of those things in the Old Testament and how much greater God was, how much greater the Lord Jesus Christ was than these prophets and all these things. And so as he's teaching here, and he testifies, and verse 21 says, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's important. As I was looking at this, turn to my notes here today. He teaches this to them, and he's teaching it in the right order. Repentance, importance to repent. It's just, you notice here that repentance comes before faith. They needed to realize where they stood with God. And that's the reason why he takes so much time in the many of the epistles, Ephesians and Galatians and different places. He's showing them that the law was given as a schoolmaster, that it was given to show us how guilty we stand before God. And so that's what he's saying here and in this particular verse. He says he testified. He made a testament to them. He was telling them. He wanted them to understand that they needed to repent of their sins. And so many times today, it seems like that's a part that a lot of people forget about. We just want to get saved and say, and just call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. But there's repentance that comes first. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. We must repent. We must repent. And so he was saying this is repentance toward God. Repentance toward God in that God is the one that we fail. Now, we try to compare ourselves sometimes to other people and different things like that, but that's not the comparison. The comparison is us and God. And we fail every time. And so it's why we need to see the importance of repentance and that how bad sin is in our lives and realize that we need to confess our sins. The Bible plainly tells us, and the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's exactly what the Bible tells us that. And God does. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. The Bible tells us that he puts them behind his back. He does not remember our sins. The problem is a lot of times we remember our sins. We remember what we've done. We live in this old flesh. And the old Satan, he comes along and tries to point out those things in the past to us. He tries to point out the failures that we have. And that's why it's important that we confess our sins and then remember we've got forgiveness of sins, that we have forgiveness. He has forgiven us. And when we do sin and Satan comes at us and he attacks us in those past sins that we've had and we've already confessed that sin and turned it over to God, we need to point the old Satan to the cross. Jesus paid for it all. It's all taken care of. Our sin has been paid for. And so he's pointing out here to these elders, these bishops here that came from Ephesus, the importance that they needed to be, like he testified to them, both to the Jews and the Greeks, the repentance toward God. Repentance toward God. And then the last part of that says, and faith toward Jesus Christ. There's where we're putting our faith. There's where faith comes in, that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And so that's what we need. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, our sins, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And we have the forgiveness of sins. And that's what he's telling them here, the importance of this. And it's in the right order. Repentance toward God first. Realizing we're sinners, we're lost and on the road to hell. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we put our faith and trust in him, then we accepting him by faith. Without faith is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and rewarder them that diligently seek him. Where's that found? It's found in Hebrews. That's what he's been telling the Jews in the synagogues and places. It's by faith. That faith, they got to have the faith, and that faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We put our faith in him. And so he's got it here, and we believe the Holy Spirit has directed him here as Luke's the one that's penning these words. Paul has said this. He said, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it goes on in verse 22 and says, and now, behold, I I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, and not knowing the things that shall befall me there. So he's looking forward, going to Jerusalem. He's looking to that what his heart's desire is, to go to Jerusalem. But he says he doesn't know what's going to befall him there. He doesn't know. You know what? We don't know about tomorrow. Our Bible tells us our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 1 or 29 verse 1. My mind's slipping right there. But it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know. We don't know about tomorrow. No, neither did Paul. He didn't know what tomorrow was going to hold. And so, but he said he was bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall him there. And so he's saying here in 22 that we can compare this verse to chapter 19, verse 21. Chapter 19 and verse 21 says, after these things were ended, Paul proposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying that after I have been there, I must also see Rome. I would believe a little bit of that is a little bit of prophetic. He knows he wants to go to Rome. He knows he shall see Rome, but the method of getting to Rome is going to be through Jerusalem. And we're going to see that in the chapters to come. He's going to see that he's going to go to Rome and get in all kinds, going to Jerusalem, and he's going to get into all kinds of problems and issues are going to come up, and we're going to talk about some of those when we get there. But it's going to end him up standing before Agrippa and Felix and end up heading to Rome. And the good thing, you know, the really good part of the mission, being a missionary, he didn't have to pay for any of this. He was going to be escorted there by the Rome. Looking on the bright side of it, if you want to, I think you probably need to look on some of these bright sides, especially when you're going to go through trials. You know, there's reasons for trials in our lives, but God does it to build us up and also to work on our patience. You know, tribulation does work with patience, the Bible tells us. So as we learn to be patient through them, we're going to see the grace of God and God work in our lives. And I believe that Paul was looking forward here to these things. He didn't know what was going to happen, but yet he knew that he was going to go to Jerusalem. And verse 23 says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So he knew, in all the cities and different places. We're going to see it in chapter 1 even more. Agabus is going to come to him in a little bit here, and he's going to say, hey, the guy that's bound up in this, he's going to be bound up. He's going to give him a prophecy here in the next chapter. We're going to look at that later when we get to chapter 21, maybe next month, sometime in there. But we'll get there eventually. But he's realizing and saying here, again, he said, save the Holy Spirit witnesses every day. Or in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He knew it was going to happen. You know, the bonds and affliction were coming. We read back in, I think it was chapter 18, when the Lord gave him a vision when he was in Corinth and getting ready to go to Ephesus at this time. The Lord told him there in chapter 18 and verses 9 and 10, it says, the last part of 9 says, the Lord spake to him in a vision, and he says, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have many people in this city. And as the eruption came there in Ephesus, he had men that were able to step in and help Paul to get out of that situation, or directed him out of that situation that he could have been even in more problems and things. So he has people. God always has people to help us through situations that come up in our lives. And sometimes I think to our fault, we forget to look. We forget to lean sometimes on other people. We need to, when we need help, We need to realize we have brothers and sisters in Christ that can help us. And he said in every city in this verse of scripture, he said that he hears that he's going to have bonds and affliction. And closer he's going to get to Jerusalem, he's going to hear these things and see these things. And bonds and affliction are coming. But I like what he says in the next verse. Verse 24 says, and now this one here I could probably preach the rest of the day. Well, I probably don't have enough time. But anyway, but it says, verse 24, he says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He had it all. This is a great verse of scripture. It's probably a good one to memorize, especially as we prepare to go into to trials and temptations. Now, one thing I have learned over the 50-some years now that I've been a Christian, trials and temptation are always there. Every day, Satan wants to come and tempt us with something, and he's there. So we need to learn that we're always in those trials and temptations. I think, a week ago, Wednesday or so, I preached on trials, and we have them. And we need to be patient through those trials. There's not one of us as a Christian that don't go through trials and temptations. There's either times we're in the valley or we're on the mountaintop. And it's just the kind of the way the Christian life is. But he encourages us in the valleys. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. He's always faithful to us. He will not let us be tempted above that we're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. A lot of times that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. But we need to remember to look for the escape. There's temptations, trials that come our way. In trials, you have to learn patience. God's going to work it through. There's things that are going to happen. Things are going to happen in our life that we do not understand. There are, I can tell you, I've been through enough of them myself. There's things I just don't understand. I've even said, Lord, this is not the way it should have gone. This is not what I signed up for, Lord. But yet, trials and temptations, when you let it pass, when you have patience and let God work it out, things come out. And the Apostle Paul, I believe, knew that. He said, none of these things move me. You know, he's made a commitment in his life, and I believe we can find that here in, I turned my page, there it is, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says there, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, talking about trials and things he's gone through. He says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, Paul was grounded in his faith. I mean, miraculously saved. The man who was a terror to the Christian church as Saul. One day met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and his life was changed forever. You know, when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, at first, I didn't realize how much my life would change, but I was determined that I wanted to serve God. And I believe the Apostle Paul, when he met the Lord there on Damascus Road, that 110%, 20% that he was a Jew, he also turned around now and became 110, 20% a Christian, and all the way a Christian. And he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He repented of the sins. He knew what had been, you know, there's any man that the Satan could have come up and said, Paul, remember what you did to those Christians? I could hear Satan tempting him many times, saying, don't you remember how you were? But he knew the cross. He went to the cross. He'd been there. He'd seen Jesus. He'd seen the nail prints in his hands. He'd seen the scars on his forehead. He'd seen his pierced side. He knew who it was. He knew in whom he believed. And I believe today that's exactly the way we need to be like that. We need to to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, he in him, and I'd be totally persuaded. I like that word, persuaded. Committed unto him against that day. That day that he's talking about is that day on the Damascus Road when he's seen the Lord Jesus Christ and his life changed forever. So here in the book of Acts, when he says, none of these things moves me, he has a reason why. Because he's put his faith and trust in God. You know, when temptations and trials come our way, and that's what he's getting ready to go through and all these things, that's why he was able to write that in 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy was written just before he was martyred. He was thinking of those things. And why, you know, here he is at the end of the line. He's been in prison, and now the time for his, we can read in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy that his life is going to be online, and he's going to give it up for the cause of Christ. And he's persuaded, but he's totally persuaded here of what God had did for him. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's one thing I think we need to realize as Christians, our life. Sometimes we cling to it so hard and want to stay in this flesh and in this body and try to live out our life as much as we can, but we need to be living our life for Christ. Right. And I believe, and I don't know how long the Lord's given me or will give me, I don't know. But as long as I'm alive and in this breath, I want to be praising the Lord. I want to be glorifying his name, and I would pray that the grace of God would give me the grace to do that until the day I take my last breath, to glorify God. This life is nothing compared to the life ahead. The eternal life he's given us. This is, matter of fact, the Bible tells us this is just a shadow. We're going to pass right from this life and to death and to an eternal life. And so the Paul here, he's saying, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. I will turn back there now. I can turn back to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I was going to go there a minute ago, but I knew I was going to come there here now. So it says, here's the apostle Paul speaking to Second Timothy chapter 4, speaking to young Timothy, and he says, I charge thee before the God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said, Timothy, just keep on keeping on. Keep on preaching. Keep on telling them, do the work of an evangelist. Encourage them to accept Christ as their Savior and can encourage them to turn their lives to God. Encourage them to live separated lives to God. And then he says, and then the next verse he says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Paul says here that he knows that now he's fought a good fight. He's finished his course, he says, and I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so he's telling Timothy, you're doing the right thing. Keep preaching the word. He said, just keep preaching it until the Lord comes. He said, one of these days, he says, you're going to be able to get the crown. He said, henceforth there's a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. He says, just not me. Unto all of them also that love his appearing. One day, our blessed hope is that the Lord's coming back. He's going to come back one of these days. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up and be with the Lord. And so he's encouraging them here, and he's talking to the bishops of Ephesus, those rulers or those leaders that he's brought there, and he's telling them the important. He says here that I have finished my course with joy. We need to finish our course with joy. I believe that, like it said before, we don't know how long we have, but I would hope and pray that we'd be able to finish our course with joy, knowing that God has done for us, and we can have the joy unspeakable in our hearts no matter what takes place. He's still the one that's going to give us the joy and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And he says, in the ministers which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Paul had been given a ministry, his ministry to testify of the Lord, of the things that the Lord had done. He had a gospel ministry that he had been given, and his ministry was the gospel of the grace of God. God is graceful. God is graceful to us. He shows us his grace and his mercies abundantly, and we need to realize that it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. That was the ministry that Paul had been given. It wasn't a ministry of works. He taught a lot against works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercies, he saved us. And so it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he was given the gospel ministry of grace, the grace of God, teaching that grace. And it's so important. I believe that we need to realize how good God is to us. Now, mercy is we not getting what we deserve. That's what mercy is. God shows us mercy, and he doesn't send us to hell. He's showing us mercy. But his grace, that's giving us something we don't deserve. We don't deserve. I believe that's something that we need to understand. We don't deserve the blessings we have. And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that he lays up for us daily his blessings. They're there. He wants to bless us every day. That's his grace that he shows us. Grace to be able to get through a difficult situation. Grace to go through the trials of our faith. It's grace of God that works in us. And so that's what the Apostle Paul's ministry was, to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I think Paul could do that pretty well, in that he realized who he was. And realized how wicked the things that he did, that he actually seen people stoned to death because they were Christians, and he cheered people on for that, and he dragged them into the courts, and all those things that Paul did. And then now he knows and experienced the grace of God. You know, in our lives, I can look back at the things that I did, but you know, now I know the grace of God. I know what God has done for me, how he looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. And what I needed wasn't just mercy, but I need grace too. Because he knows how the devil is still here working in our lives every day, and he tempts us and tries us and everything. But God gives us grace. That's more than we deserve. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that ministry that God has given us. Tell other people about the grace of God. Sometimes people struggle with all kinds of things in their life. But you know what? God's got grace there for us. We can get through that if we just trust him. There goes Hayden. I thought Hayden I hadn't seen him in all years. But anyway, since last vacation Bible school, I think. But anyway, so it's grace. He has a testimony here of God's favor, the good news of God's favor he's shown us. And his ministry was to bear witness to a dying world of the good news of God's mercy. And not only did he show us mercy, but he gives us grace. He gives us grace to live. The mercies that we can go to heaven. He's has taken care of the sin debt for us, but now he gives us grace so that we can live the Christian life. You know, the Bible tells us, I think Paul says here in the book of Romans, he tells us here in the book of Romans in chapter 12, he says here that, it is right here in the book of Romans in chapter 12. There it is. One more page. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that's God's mercies, and he's going to show us God's grace, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, the way we're going to be transformed is by God's grace. We can only be transformed. It's not by, the mercies is good, and he showed us that already, but you're only going to be transformed by God's grace. And he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think Paul, as he's is saying this, and he's going to be told, even in chapter 21, by the Holy Spirit, it's not a good idea for you to go to Jerusalem. And I think he's told us there that there's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somewhere in there, Paul was acting within good, acceptable, perfect will of God. But one thing he wasn't doing, he was not acting out of the will of God. There's four things: good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And then there's out of the will of God. Out of the will of God is where you never want to be, because God's not going to listen to you. He's not going to hear your prayers. He's not going to help you until you come back to that realization of what he's done for you. And then he's going to show you his grace, and he's going to be abundant. He'll show his abundance grace to you. And so I believe here that the gospel that Paul was to preach was the gospel of God's grace. He goes on, verse 25 says, and now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom, shall see my face no more. He says, I'm telling you, this is the last you're going to see me. You know what? Preacher can get up here today. I can tell you today, I'm preaching to you the gospel of God's grace, and I can't guarantee you you'll see me tomorrow, so you better take it for today, okay? And that's what he's telling them. You're not going to see me no more. I'm not going to come back to Ephesus. I'm not going to come this way. I've been given this one chance is to tell you, it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so our time's run out, so we're going to stop right there. We'll finish it up next week. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we serve a great God. Father, I pray that you just give us guidance and direction. I pray that you be with our pastor as he comes and proclaims the word. I ask, Lord, that you hide him behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, that you be lifted up and glorified. We're thankful, Lord, that we have a great God that loves us, cares for us, shows us your mercy, and, Lord, then shows us an abundance of your grace. Lord, we're thankful for all you've done for us today. I pray that you be with each person that's here. I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would move in the hearts and men and women, boys and girls that hear the preaching this morning. Lord, only you can make the difference. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit be known today. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.
times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure.
Rock is Jesus.